Shadow Falls Badlands. The story so far. 7 years after being discovered in the woods with his sister Allison, there are voices calling to Miles, voices of the dead, which summon him to the field where the travelers from the Majestic were slaughtered. And now Miles believes the time has come for that which his father was preparing him for. But unbeknownst to him, it's a powerful force that awaits. That of the wolf, who has come to do battle yet again. Chapter 21. Miles's body convulsed, his eyes rolled backwards into his skull as he shook.
Miles!
Cried Allison.
Miles!
Tears began to stream down her cheeks as his body temperature rose so high. His skin was scorching hot to the touch. A choking sound escaped from his mouth, and Allison stuck her fingers inside to keep him from swallowing his tongue. Over and over she called out his name, but inside Miles's head his sister's voice was nowhere to be found, for he was now quite far away from that plane of existence. When he opened his eyes, the rain was beating down on him, falling in thick sheets that soaked him instantly to the bone. Miles stood and looked down at the rocky ground upon which he was standing. He gazed down at his arms. They seemed longer, thicker. He squeezed his hands into fists, hearing his joints crackle like dry firewood. They felt stiff, as did all of his body. From the bottom of his peripheral vision, he saw something on his face, just above his lip, and quickly tried to brush it away. But what his fingers found were the bristles of whiskers. He reached again, more carefully this time, to find a full mustache under his nose and a thick beard upon his face. Instinctively, his hand went toward his hair, where he found a soaking wet mop of it hanging just below his shoulder. And though he had no way to see his face with his eyes, his fingertips could feel the creases in his damp skin. He had grown older somehow. The exact amount was a mystery.
10 years. 20 years.
Inside his head were none of the memories that would allow his mind to fill that gap. It was as if he had only aged physically. And as he marveled at his own body, he heard neither the footsteps coming up behind him in the pouring rain, nor the massive fist that hissed through the air toward the back of his head. But it was the voice he heard in his mind, "Move now!" that saved him. Quickly he bent forward at the waist as the hammer-like blow missed him by less than an inch. And as Miles twisted around to his left, in the opposite direction from where the fist came, he saw his attacker, the same darkened figure that had approached him inside the killing field of his youth. The beast with the silhouette of a man, but eyes that appeared as if all that were behind them were orange flames, like looking through the portal of a furnace door. The heat that radiated from the dark figure's body was so intense, it caused the rain to turn instantly into sheets of steam coming from his ruddy flesh. And though Miles had moved fast enough to avoid the first blow, he wasn't so lucky with the second. The other fist of the dark figure crashed into Miles' chest, hitting him with the force of a boulder. And he flew backwards through the air, landing on his neck and shoulders, skidding across the wet and hardened ground, until he came to a stop 20 feet away. An intense pain radiated through his chest where he'd been struck, and Miles rushed to catch his breath. As he looked up, he could see the dark figure coming right toward him, its body looming as large as an oak tree, its piercing and orange eyes glaring down at him, meaning to obliterate me, Miles thought. With each step the hulking dark figure took, the ground literally shook. And as Miles tried to scramble backwards, he felt the cut open on his hand. He held it up, and the very knife cut his father had made all those years ago had split again. And from inside the wound, as it did before his father's death, came a blinding light, one growing from a point into a glowing ball. And again, as it had then, the vision came to Miles. Endless images, flashing by his eyes as if time were rocketing past him while he was standing still. There was flame and smoke, an earth scorched, the sky opening, a battle of darkness and light. And there before him was his father in the moments before his death, standing before Miles with the pistol pressed to his temple. "I'm not the coyote," William said. "You are, and you will be victorious." And with a steady hand, William Lawton pulled the trigger.
"No!"
screamed Miles. And from the bloodied cut in his hand came the light, emanating brighter than 1,000 candles, illuminating the ground they were standing upon as if it were day, and not this seemingly endless night. And as it shone on him, the darkened figure stopped and turned its head away as if struck. But Miles did not notice, for he was looking at what was just on the light's periphery. Hundreds and hundreds of yellow eyes, deep-set pairs surrounding him in a giant circle, watching every move, watching this battle, Miles thought, for that's what it was. And from the edge of the light came the voices in a cacophony of whispers, and instantly Miles understood. They were the voices of the dead. And it took no longer than the firing of a single synapse for all the pieces to fall into place in Miles' mind. The images of those thousands of Native Americans sacrificing their captives and young. The slaughter of the entire traveling party of the Majestic, including his mother and brother. Their blood, which had soaked into the ground, called out to him because it was their battle he was being summoned to fight. "Over who controls death itself?" the voices told him. Death had never been an independent entity, but it always served at the whim of its master, taking as few or as many from the mortal plane as the master saw fit, satiating that hunger only so much as the master needed. And for centuries, the Indians knew the fight for control over the realm of death had fallen between the spirit of the wolf and the spirit of the coyote, that every so many decades they would come together to renew their blood feud. And though Miles was unsure how this fit into the apocalyptic visions his father had suffered from, he was certain they indeed did. And what was to become of him on this battleground in the pouring rain would potentially be another step toward the end of mankind. The blinding light faded from his hand, plunging the yellow-eyed observers back into the eternal night, and the darkened figure came toward Miles once again. "I'm the coyote. I will be victorious," he said in a whisper under his breath, feeling the ground shake with each coming step of the wolf.
"Miles! Miles!"
Allison called out as she cradled Miles' seemingly lifeless body and sobbed. And suddenly she saw it. On the ground, no more than a foot away, was the eye of their father, which Miles had kept with him at all times, the twin to the one which she shunned, because she could see what was within the cursed orb. And as she reached down and closed her fingers around it, the feeling in her chest was like the massive eruption of a clap of thunder. Immediately she could feel the energy coming from his body, like balls of heat lightning erupting all around them. Tremors began in Miles' legs, turning from spasm to full-blown shakes. But Allison held his body as tightly as possible for fear that he would hurt himself.
"Miles!"
she called again, but he seemed not to hear her voice at all. However, though his mind and spirit were far away on a distant plane, he was aware of her presence, even as the darkened figure approached. And he knew she would be his only chance. Using all of his concentration, he was able to summon his body, and all at once he broke from Allison's grip and sat bolt upright. His eyeballs rolled back, showing nothing but shock white. And from within his throat came his voice as if telegraphed to this location.
Take the eye to Father Henri. Run!
Miles spoke before his body fell completely limp again. And run she did, through the woods along the pathways that darkened before her as the sun slipped from the sky. She ran until it felt like her heart would explode, and each breath seared her lungs. And still, she was too far away from the settlement to believe she could reach it in time. As her legs started to cramp, she could feel the presence of something behind her, trailing not too far behind in the woods. Something that Allison knew had hungry, sharp teeth. Even as the pain grew inside her chest and in her legs, she kept moving. It burns, she thought, quickly acknowledging it would be much worse if whatever was following on her heels actually caught up to her. Run! Don't stop! Her mind cried out as she thought of her brother Miles and the danger he had put himself into. And up ahead, there was a rustling in the woods, and Allison stopped dead in her tracks. Surrounded, she thought, trying to figure out if there was a chance to outrun whatever was out there. And just then, stepping out where she could see was a familiar figure.
Odile!
Allison shrieked, running toward her friend. But as Odile saw her, she froze. Behind Allison, she could clearly see the presence looming behind the little girl, and the literally hundreds of yellow eyes gleaming in the darkness rushing toward her. The fear overcame Odile. No longer could her brain process that it was Allison standing in front of her needing help. The same dear friend who she had run into the woods to find. Instead, all that remained was the most primal urge to flee as she turned on her heels. But the charging creatures came swiftly. The coyotes emerged from the woods, rushing past Allison as if she were a rock in the middle of a stream. And they descended upon Odile. There was no scream as their teeth quickly silenced her and flayed the flesh from Odile's body. As a shriek arose in Allison's throat, she cupped both hands over her mouth, for fear that the beasts would turn their attention toward her. But as soon as they came, the coyotes were gone into the woods at a run, leaving behind practically nothing of Odile, other than bloodied bone, hair, and gristle. And as the murderous beasts fled, the last to leave turned back and looked at Allison, meeting her gaze with its yellow eyes before following the rest of the pack into the woods.
Oh no, thought Allison with great horror. They're headed toward the settlement.
Miles lay beaten with his head over the edge of a crack in the earth, a crevice going down into a bottomless void. The heel of the wolf pressed down on his throat, choking the very life out of him. Blood dripped from the corner of his mouth down his cheek, falling into the pit, and there was nothing he could do to stop his coming death. Until a feeling arose inside his body, an energy welling up inside that hit him like a jolt of electricity. All at once, Miles felt the strength come back into his arms as he grabbed the wolf's foot with both hands and reveled in the surprise on the face of his attacker.
as he sat at the one table in his room, lit only by a single candle. Father Henri paged through his thumb-worn copy of the Bible. Though not anything he was willing to share with the others, he had been sowing the seeds of concern for longer now than he could remember. He had first felt it when they had settled here, and then more so as it increased dramatically upon the unexpected arrival of the boy and his sister some 7 years ago. He had never expected to live out his days with a gray beard until old age took him, but over the past few hours, Father Henri felt that what he ultimately feared was finally upon him, catching him very unprepared. He had to warn the others immediately, but how do you provision someone for something like this? And there, as he turned the page, he found it. Revelation 18:08. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Suddenly he felt a chill run through his entire body. He closed the book and lay it before him. Coming from the woods outside was the pounding of hundreds of feet, getting closer. As he arose, he took his crucifix from around his neck and kissed it before opening the door. Outside he could see them rushing toward him, toward the settlement, their yellow eyes and sharp teeth visible in the moonlight. And in the air, it was there growing louder, the last sound he would ever hear as they bore down on him, the sound of countless voices hushed into a single whisper. We shall live in his house. We shall live in his name. And that was chapter 21 of Shadow Falls Badlands, as we relive the bloody legacy of this land. But what does it mean for Miles and his two siblings? Stay tuned to find out, because chapter 22 is coming very soon. Questions? Comments? Send them to me at shadowfalls@podshowla.com. We are soon coming very close to the end of season 2. And of course, big thanks to Monk for the Shadow Falls Badlands Part 3 theme song, I Am, Molly's Theme, which you can find at music.podshow.com. So until next time, this is Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov, fading to black. I just begun. I was dead. Sign for every light that shines.